Welcome to the Modern Marketing Podcast, where we discuss all things related to modern marketing techniques, including lean, agile, design thinking, and customer centricity. This podcast is produced by the Agile Marketing Alliance so that we can learn, share, and grow together. I'm Melissa Reed, and I'll be your host for today's episode. Today, we're speaking with Tabitha Stewart. Tabitha oversees strategy and execution of marketing agility for a Fortune 100 financial services company. Today, we'll be exploring how Tabitha uses a problems-first approach to move marketers towards agility. Tabitha, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. Thank you for having me on.
It's our pleasure. So Tabitha, tell us a little bit about your path towards marketing agility. How did you get involved in marketing teams?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I have a non-traditional, I would say probably a diverse background. It actually did not start in marketing. It stemmed from project management, which I had my first encounter with agility nearly 10 years ago. I was working on a major project with our technical team to build an in-house automated workflow. And the success of that project really stemmed from our team's ability to work together, experiment with different frameworks, and find out what worked best for us. So we created a scalable model that produced high quality results and really set the tone for future projects. This experience really taught me the value of agility and iterative processes. And so over the next 5 years, I frequently reflected back on what made that project so successful. And I realized that our intentional decisions around building foundations really enabled our team's true agility. So it allowed us to be more responsive and efficient, and we found that we were really embracing the agile mindset, and we just didn't know it at the time. So having this unique opportunity so early on in my career allowed me to kind of rent and repeat that scalable model across a variety of roles, from corporates to startups, and it led me to my journey here with marketing almost 2 years ago to develop and implement an agile transformation strategy for one of my clients. So through multiple iterations, we have developed a model that I feel very confident in, and I feel that it will continue to pave the way for marketing teams to follow. And bringing agile principles to marketing has really been a natural progression for me. It's really about, you know, creating a responsive, collaborative environment where teams can rapidly adapt to changes and really produce better quality work. So my blended background in project management and team efficiency has really given me a unique perspective on how to implement these strategies in a marketing context.
Yeah, I always find it so interesting how people land in marketing agility and some like you, you know, shift over from other areas of the business. So when you were working with in project management, I mean, you mentioned frameworks and you were experimenting with different frameworks. Did that include Agile or what other frameworks were involved?
Yes, absolutely. So it included Agile, but we were looking at a variety of change management frameworks as well. And what we were trying to do is how do we stay cutting edge? Because we were building something net new for the organization. We have never explored this previously. And so it was like, how do we kind of pull from different models or frameworks to help us gain more alignment and collaboration with projects. So I think that we had what I would say is like an agile buffet. So we pulled from a bunch of different disciplines to really find what worked best for our team.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense. I mean, agile is made for these environments where you have uncertainty. And quite frankly, that's just about every environment, including marketing.
Right.
So let's talk a little bit about your current engagement. You're currently working with a large financial services organization, and it sounds like you're implementing some of these techniques with that organization, and they had some challenges with their current approach. Can you walk us through those?
Yes, absolutely. So initially, and I think that a lot of individuals are quick and experience this challenge as well, but initially, we focused heavily on one single framework, and we really pushed a model of let's educate, let's train, and let's get our team certified across the organization. However, at the time, we were seeing that marketers really found it challenging to move from theory to practice, and they struggled to see how a framework that originated in IT could be adapted to their, you know, unique and dynamic teams. So we're finding that the technical nature of the conversations and the implementation strategies quickly lost steam. You know, people were getting frustrated. And we realized we missed the mark by trying to apply this one-size-fits-all solution. We were trying to serve the whole pie, and really all they needed was a slice at the time. So when we were able to, kind of break down our strategy into more digestible chunks, we were able to make what we were communicating hyper-relevant to the team. So our marketing teams faced issues like, you know, poor collaboration, misalignment, delayed stakeholder feedback, constant changes, and the feeling that everything is a priority, so nothing is a priority, you know. And by focusing on these problems first, we really shifted into a problem-solving mode. When we found that when we aligned to their goals and objectives and really understood their challenges as marketers, we started seeing significant results. You know, we've made great strides, and we continue to learn and evolve with every coaching engagement that we do. So there's a pretty, I would say, a pretty fruitful journey ahead of us, filled with more opportunities to continue to refine our practices based off of the team's challenges.
Yeah, it's so interesting. And I guess a lot of times when I'm talking about Agile, I think for some reason about life changes, like becoming more healthy or eating better, and how when we try and do these in a sudden way with changing everything at once, it's just hard to see success because it's too much change at once. And what I love about what you've done here is this term hyper relevant, you know, that you've really broken it down and said, well, gosh, what's one thing that we can change with this team that would make an impact? And you started there, and it sounds like you started to build on that.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So before the show, we talked about your current approach, this whole notion of getting hyper relevant and responding to problems marketers are having, rather than leading with a framework or an approach. Can you share an example, kind of bring this to life on how this approach works?
Yes. So one example that I think stands out is, one of our marketing teams was struggling with frequent campaign delays, right? I think most marketers feel that challenge at times.
And there For
was, sure. Right. There was a lot of misalignment between different stakeholders. And I think our marketing teams were frustrated, and I think our stakeholders were even frustrated with the constant changes in priorities and maybe the lack of communication. And it really caused the team to miss deadlines and a lot of rework. So one of our areas or one of our disciplines that we were able to implement was introducing team alignment meetings, which we really used to center and align the teams around what are the immediate goals? What are our tasks on hand today? And unblocking the path forward. And I think that this improved, you know, communication and transparency with the team. But we didn't stop there. We took it one step further and we set up a Kanban board to visualize their work. And by mapping out all of their tasks and their statuses, everyone, including the stakeholders, could see what was being worked on, what was pending and what had been completed. And I think as a result, the team and stakeholders were able to better understand the workflow. And they also, the key thing is they were also able to identify the bottlenecks early and resolve those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I once heard that the brain processes visuals 65,000 times faster than words. So the power of visualization is so real. All right. So you've got your Kanban board set up. And then what?
Well, then we started experimenting with prioritization techniques. You know, we really encouraged the teams to use a formula to evaluate their tasks to ensure that the most valuable and feasible tasks were prioritized. You know, we looped in the stakeholders during those engagements to really make sure that we had alignment across the team. And I think that prioritization framework really helped us provide clear rationale for our decision making. And it reduced conflicts and improved focus. So it was no longer the loudest person in the room or the highest person in the room. And it really allowed them to, hey, we have a formula that we are going to leverage, and we have, clarity around what that looks like.
Yeah. So there's a lot of prioritization frameworks out there. Which ones did you choose to experiment with?
Yes. The one that I think most teams would be familiar with is ICE. But what we've done is we have implemented, we call it BRICE. So, we're adding in that benefit, and then we're adding in the reach, because a lot of our marketing campaigns, it's all about the reach. And so we kind of use that to tailor our criteria around prioritization.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, I love the words that you pulled out, valuable and feasible, because something can add a lot of value, but if it's going to suck up all the resources of the team, it may not be that feasible.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. I think the changes really led to, some significant improvements, both within the team and then the stakeholders. I think the team felt that they were more in control and better equipped to handle those changes. And I feel like on the stakeholders' perspective, they were able to become more engaged and cooperative and really understood the impact of their request. So it was no longer just throwing requests to a marketing team. It was more of a collaborative relationship, and they understood, okay, in order to have this go, there might be a trade-off. So I think overall, the results that we saw was, campaign delays were reduced and the overall quality of the work improved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. And I love that the stakeholders were becoming more engaged and cooperative. The visual that comes to mind to me, for me, is one of ping pong. And so often, in the sake of being efficient, we start this game of ping pong where we're just throwing things back and forth between stakeholders and marketing, or between marketers. And even though it feels efficient, it may not be effective. And so what I heard you saying was, let's move to a more effective way of working, one that perhaps has more conversations than were previously held.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the model that we're trying to embrace is effectiveness.
Yeah, I love that. So what is the next challenge on the horizon for you? What is the next problem you'd like to solve for your marketing teams?
Oh, yes. So I think the next challenge I'd like to tackle for our marketing teams is capacity management. We've implemented agile practices and we've seen improvements in collaboration, prioritization and workflow visualization. That managing the team capacity effectively is the next step in our evolution. I feel like capacity management is so crucial because it helps teams ensure that we're making the best use of our resources without overloading them. Mm-hmm. When teams become overextended, our quality can suffer and deadlines can be missed, and it impacts our overall effectiveness. So to address this, we're really focusing on two main strategies, which is, workload balancing and ready to work models.
Tell me a little bit more about both of those.
Yeah. So with workload balancing, we're really creating processes for more evenly distributing tasks across team members. And so when we have, individuals who are going out of office on vacation, or maybe they need to spend a little bit more time with one particular task, the team members are then encouraged or empowered to, okay, how do we balance this workload? Where we may have, team members with a little bit more bandwidth. And so really trying to create a model to where we can visually drill down into that. And the teams are also empowered to kind of drill down into that as well. And then with ready to work models, I think that this is one area where we have seen some success in certain parts of our organization, but really want to kind of scale the best practices is implementing the ready-to-work models to ensure that all of the information, resources, approvals, whether it's creative or legal, they're all in place before our work. And it really helps streamline the workflow and reduces delays caused by, missing or incomplete tasks.
Yeah, I can see the benefits of that. So on the workload balancing, one of the things I run into is that individuals sometimes can resist capacity management. Either they don't want to have their capacity measured, or even if their capacity, they're at full capacity, they want to do more. It's their pet projects or whatever's going on. So curious, have you run into that at all, or how have you addressed those issues?
Yes, absolutely. You know, I think that, you know, while change is scary, I think just educating the team on why we're doing it, it's not from a micromanagement standpoint, but really to protect the teams, right? We want to protect their happiness and we want to make sure that they're not getting burnt out. So I think when we lead with that empathy first approach, teams are able to get that buy-in and the adoption. And we're actually finding that the marketers are like, yes, let's do this. I don't want to have to log in late hours to push a campaign out the door, or I don't want to have to pull up on a holiday. So I think that teams are excited about that transparency. And I think that it's really, I think it's all become, you know, based off of their mindset shifts, right? They're really leaning into it and embracing it and finding that we're doing all of this to help them. And we want them to be successful and happy and effective at their jobs.
Yeah. And I guess I'm coming to realize too, this is the next challenge you're facing. So you've already built up some credibility with these teams. Is that fair to say?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, you know, we started to talk a little bit about these hurdles that can happen in the teams. What are some hurdles you're currently facing in engaging with the teams you're working with, and how are you addressing those?
Absolutely. You know, we touched on that change word a little bit earlier, but I think that's primarily one of the hurdles that we're facing in our marketing teams is the challenge of change. You know, implementing new ways of work is not easy, and change can be particularly difficult. You know, there's the resistance to change, there's the fear of the unknown, and then really the effort required to learn new processes are all seen as, you know, common obstacles that our team encounters.
So tell me a little bit about how you've addressed that.
Yes. So we have adopted a crawl, walk, run approach to integrating new ways of working. You know, this method really has allowed us to introduce changes gradually and really ensure that our teams are comfortable and confident at each stage before we move on to the next. So within our crawl phase, we typically start small and we're focusing on educating and really going over the basics of Agile and starting to integrate those into the team's disciplines. And so this really introduces the core principles of what is Agile marketing, and then simple practices like daily standups or team alignment. Or maybe just, you know, basic task visualization through a Kanban board. And we really, in this phase, coach teams to understand the overall value of the Agile practices and how to apply them in their day. And then once teams are comfortable, we move on to the walk phase, which is where we start to include more advanced techniques. And we encourage teams to really experiment and find the best fit for, you know, their unique needs. And then once they feel like they've, you know, kind of gotten the rhythms down, we transition into run, which is our teams are fully embracing Agile principles and practices. They know how to integrate them into their daily workflows, and they've become more autonomous and started seeing the benefits of, you know, increased collaboration, better alignment, or overall improved efficiency. And then my role starts to shift into providing ongoing support in a maintenance model. And then we're really ensuring that teams continue to iterate and improve on their processes. So throughout this entire process, no matter crawl, walk, run, we emphasize continuous feedback and open communication. And we're constantly checking in with the teams to understand, you know, what are their pain points? What are their successes? And what adjustments do we need to make? And I feel like this approach has helped build, you know, trust and buy-in. And it's really making the transition smoother and more sustainable. So we kind of set the tone, but the teams manage the change of the pace of change. And they've been more comfortable with it. It's allowed them to, you know, adapt gradually. It's effective. It really sets a strong foundation for long-term agility and continuous improvement.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing for our listeners is that if you've got a marketing team, there's a couple of concepts in here, right? One is something akin to shuhari, which is, you know, you're going by the rules. And then as you get more comfortable in what you're doing, And that's really the role of the practices, is to help you adopt this mindset. But as you get more comfortable, you're better able and better equipped to apply it to your own situation, your own roles. Is that fair to say?
Yes, yes. It's been rewarding to see people get more familiar with it, and then they want to experiment and tailor it specifically to their working, environment.
Mm-hmm. And then the other thing, my other takeaway from this is that as a coach, as somebody supporting these teams, that ultimately your goal isn't to keep yourself there as a crutch for the teams, but you want them to really fly, right? So there's also crawl, walk, run, fly, which is the next phase, and that they can take more and more ownership of these processes and how they're applied in the day-to-day.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, we're approaching that fly perspective of, okay, what's next? And, you know, the marketing teams get really excited about the implementation that they, you know, it's been a successful strategy for them. And so it's like, how do we give them the microphone to amplify their impact? And so we're setting up best practices and knowledge sharing forums to allow them to share with some of the other teams who might be newer on their journey. And I think that that's been successful as well, just watching them, go from not really knowing much about Agile or Agile for marketing all the way to almost doing a mentorship or a buddy system with teams who are newer on their journey.
What a great approach. And I love that you're focusing on it in a very mindful manner. You're being very deliberate about it. So we've alluded to a few of the things that marketers can gain when they seek more agility. You've talked about better campaigns focused on value. Can you just speak more directly to the types of results marketing teams see when they adopt Agile principles?
Yes, absolutely. I think flexibility is a big, the teams have been able to respond to changes in requirements and priorities quickly, and making sure that the end result still remains aligned with the broader stakeholder needs and then also the business objectives. So that flexibility did not exist previously. It almost felt like a very transactional based relationship. And it was like, all right, marketing's going to take this over. They're going to get it to the finish line. So I think that flexibility and overall the relationships that have formed from it has been instrumental. And then, also just that increased transparency. It's bringing this agile way of working is bringing more visibility into the progress. And we're able to have transparent conversations around bottlenecks and really use that to make informed decisions. So I think those are two of the biggest results. But of course, there's also, the empowerment factor, which is at times hard to measure. But I feel like there has been a significant increase or uplift in our teams feeling empowered and having ownership over their work. And they feel like they have fostered this sense of responsibility and commitment. And I think that it's leading to, higher motivation and productivity.
Flexibility, transparency, empowerment, ownership, four great things for any team. What a great result. What guidance would you give to marketing teams wanting to take this approach and integrate more agility into their teams?
Absolutely. I think understanding the drivers towards why teams want to explore business agility. I think, by starting with a clear definition of why do teams want to adopt agile practices? What's the need, whether it's, faster delivery, better collaboration, improved adaptability, or, flexibility. I think that will help tailor your approach and communicate the benefits to the team. And then I encourage really to start small, right? We talked a little bit about my first approach, which was we're just going to give this the whole pie and tell them, here you go. So I think starting small with bite-sized chunks, beginning with, a pilot project or a small team, and really choosing a manageable scope that allows you to experiment and learn without overwhelming. I found that when you overwhelm teams, you have a high risk of just abandoning agile altogether. And that's definitely not what we want. So, and then I think it's important to experiment and tailor agile to fit your needs. You know, agile is not a one size fits all approach. There's so many disciplines at your disposal. And I think customizing those practices to fit your team's context and challenges, and then being flexible in adapting as you learn what works best with your team.
Tabitha, you have just shared a wealth of information with our listeners today. Thank you so much for sharing your insights on the show today.
Absolutely. It was great to be here. Thank you.
And thanks for listening to our show today. Be sure to check out the show notes and more at agilemarketingalliance.com/podcast.